Chapter 8. When he arrived at Blueford, Tyree learned that a pep rally had been scheduled in the gym for just before lunch. All freshmen were expected to attend. Tyree didn't mind such events during football season when he got to attend as an athlete, but this pep rally was for winter sports. That meant the wrestling team and Darryl Mercer would be included. The last thing he wanted to do was see people praise Darryl.
"We've had a great season this year," Coach Lewis said,
talking about the wrestling team.
"A couple of our seniors are going to the state championships, and from the looks of things, a number of our freshmen may be there one day, too."
Tyree rolled his eyes. He would rather be in Mr. Fitch's history class. He listened as the coach praised several wrestlers and then mentioned the team's success in a recent match against Lincoln High.
"Each year, the team selects an award for the most improved member on the team," the coach continued.
Tyree's eyes widened.
"This year's recipient is Darryl Mercer."
Tyree watched in horror as Darryl stood up and waved. Many kids in the bleachers clapped loudly, and a few even chanted, "Darryl! Darryl!" Amber Lynn Bailey and Jamie Wills squealed loudly at the news, and several guys on the wrestling squad patted Darryl on the back. Tyree stood up. Each clap for Darryl was like an insult aimed directly at him, making his head throb even more. Desperate, Tyree spotted Mr. Mitchell sitting with his section of freshmen and mumbled,
"Gotta go to the bathroom. I'm sick."
Mr. Mitchell nodded, and Tyree ran down the bleachers toward the hallway.
"Hard to take, Tyree?"
Jamie jeered as Tyree descended the steps.
"What goes around comes around."
Tyree made it to the bathroom and went inside. The room was empty, and Tyree kicked the trash can, sending it smashing into a bathroom stall. His head ached, and he rubbed the wound repeatedly while listening for the end of the pep rally. Finally, after about 10 minutes, the rally was over, and Tyree heard everyone leaving the gym. When he came out of the bathroom, Mr. Mitchell was standing there waiting for him.
"Feeling better, Tyree?"
Mr. Mitchell asked.
"Yeah, I'm fine," Tyree said, turning to walk away. "Something I ate, I guess."
"You're upset, aren't you?" Mr. Mitchell asked.
"I don't know what you're talking about, man,"
Tyree snapped.
"Kids are mean, Tyree. They're a lot like chickens. When chickens find one of the flock vulnerable, they peck it to death. Darryl was on the receiving end of the pecking a while ago, and now I think you're catching some of it. I know how tough it can be," Mr. Mitchell said.
"I don't know what you're talking about, Mr. Mitchell. I ain't no chicken. Look, I gotta get to class."
"Tyree, this will all pass," Mr. Mitchell added. "One day you're gonna realize that none of this is important. But there are some things you can do right now to change things. You've got to own up to your part in this, and you got to get that chip off your shoulder and reach out to the other kids."
"I ain't reaching out to nobody. I ain't got problems. Don't waste time on me, Mr. Mitchell,"
Tyree insisted, walking away from the teacher. At lunchtime, Tyree approached Lark in the cafeteria. She glanced up at him and then turned away. Tyree wondered what he would say if she asked him about the money. Would she give him more money if he asked for it?
"Hi, Lark," he said, sitting next to her. "Girl, you look good today."
Lark opened her can of soda but said nothing. She avoided eye contact with him.
"Yesterday, I went with my friend Livy to see her grandma in the nursing home where your mom works," she said. "Livy's grandma is pretty sick."
"Too bad,"
Tyree said, trying to figure out what Lark had to say. Lark raised her gaze and looked right at him.
"Your mom was there, Tyree. We got into a conversation about birthdays. Of course, I kept the necklace a secret. She told me she just celebrated her birthday 2 months ago,"
Lark said, taking a deep breath.
"Have you been lying to me just to get my money?"
she asked, tears in her eyes. Tyree's heart sank. He glanced down to escape her gaze.
I didn't really get her anything nice, so I thought I'd give it to her as a late present as soon as I could afford it," he explained.
"That's not what you told me before,"
Lark said, shaking her head, a look of disappointment on her face.
You said you wanted to get it for her this year. You acted like you had to get it soon. I told your mom we're friends at school, and she seemed real glad about that. I asked how your sick aunt was doing, and she said there wasn't anyone in her family that was sick. I didn't say anything else, because I didn't want to get you in trouble.
She's lying,
Tyree blurted out awkwardly.
Mom's like that. She don't like people knowing her business.
No, Tyree. I think you're the one who's lying,
Lark replied.
Everyone kept telling me not to trust you, but I didn't listen. I kept hoping that they were wrong, that you were different from what they said. Well, I guess I was the one who was wrong.
Tyree's mind spun wildly as he searched for something to say.
Okay. Do you really want the truth? The truth is that I was embarrassed to tell you why I needed the money,
Tyree said, thinking quickly. Lark's eyes widened.
What is it?
I owe some guys a lot of money, and they said they're going to hurt me if I don't pay. They did this to me last night,
Tyree insisted, bending forward to show her the gash on the back of his head.
I still got to get $50 or they're going to hurt me again. I didn't want to admit that to you.
Tyree, they can't get away with something like that,
Lark said.
You have to go to the principal and tell her what's happening.
No, you don't understand. The principal hates me. She's just looking for a reason to kick me out of Blueford,
Tyree said.
Well, go to Mr. Mitchell. He'll help you. He's great about helping kids with problems,
Lark suggested.
Baby, you don't get it. If I bring anyone else into this, those guys are going to make it worse for me. All I can do is pay them off. That's why I asked you for the money. You're my only hope.
Tyree, I can't keep giving you money. I already gave you everything I had. I believed you when you told me about your mom's present, and you were lying to me. How can I be sure that you're not lying to me right now? I don't know what to do.
Lark's eyes began to water, and she wiped them with her fingers.
Just walk away then,
Tyree said bitterly, surprised at how much Lark's tears bothered him.
That's what everybody does. No reason you should be different.
Tyree,
Lark sobbed. He glanced up to see Jamie Wills coming toward them. Passing Tyree in icy silence, Jamie rushed to Lark's side and put her hand on her friend's shoulder.
Come over and eat with us, Lark. You don't have to stay here.
Lark got up slowly.
Me and Amber Lynn are going to go to the mall after school. My sister is driving us. We want you to come too, Lark,
Jamie said as they walked away.
You need to mind your own business, Tyree snapped at Jamie. My friend is my business,
Jamie shot back.
And it's my business when she gets mixed up with losers like you.
Jamie pulled Lark to a table on the far side of the cafeteria where Amber Lynn was sitting. Tyree knew by the look on Lark's face that she was confused. As he watched her wipe tears from her eyes, he experienced a twinge of guilt. Tyree looked around and realized he was completely alone in the middle of the crowded cafeteria.
So this is how it's going to be from now on,
he concluded. His only comfort had been the knowledge that he would soon have a gun. Tomorrow he would meet Bones as they had agreed to nearly a week ago. But without money, Bones would just laugh at him. Just then, a light bulb turned on in Tyree's head. There was one place he had not yet gone for money, a place with more risk than robbing a bank, his mother's money stash. Mom had savings she called her cheap money. Every payday, she hid cash in her dresser drawer. When it grew to a nice sum, she would use it to take her mother to dinner or buy herself something she needed. Dad knew about the stash, and he often borrowed from it. Tyree knew if Dad found him taking money, he would be in the worst trouble of his life. But he had to do something. Mom's money was the only answer. As long as he returned it quickly and without Dad knowing, nothing bad would happen. Once he got the gun, Tyree figured he could start scaring kids. They would start paying him again, and he could replace Mom's cash before anyone knew it was gone. By then, everything would return to normal. As soon as his final class ended, Tyree sprinted from Blueford, rushing to arrive home before his mother. He had about 5 minutes to spare when he walked into the house. Making sure no one was home, he went quickly into his parents' room. He cautiously opened the drawer and found the cheat money hidden between two folded shirts. Tyree counted $120. He took out $50 and carefully arranged the clothes in the exact position he had found them. Unless Mom looked for the money immediately, there would be no way she would know what he had done. Tyree's hands shook as he folded the bills and shoved them deep into the pocket of his jeans. Immediately, he felt dirty. He had done many bad things in his life that did not bother him, but this was different. He had never stolen anything from his mother. Struggling to push the guilt from his mind, Tyree focused his thoughts on the gun. "My gun is going to change everything," he whispered to himself, quietly fighting the images of Lark and his mother, which gently haunted him in the darkened bedroom. When Tyree went to bed that night, he slept fitfully, tossing every few hours, unable to get comfortable. At one point, he dreamt of Lark's face. Tears were in her eyes. To his horror, Tyree realized she was sitting alone in a church pew, crying. Before her was a coffin, and in it Tyree saw his own body, a gun resting on his chest.